You already know. Talk sports for your sports news.
John Reed and Cody, this is Fan Run. And we can't help it if your shorty thinks we're handsome. Run and tell your granddaughter how your grandson. I'm the ghost, but I put up in a phantom. Fox Sports Knoxville, this the anthem. Fan Run, hold your radio for ransom. About to move to Farragut by a mansion. Fan Run, got the haters throwing tantrums. Fan Run Radio for your sports facts. Bama, Florida, and Georgia, we ignore that. John Reed and Cody posted up with Cam Black. Fan Run, you can run and tell your man's dead.
Two-time champion John Reed, Cody McClure, Cam Black, Talk Sports.
Hour three kicking off in the Truly Hard Seltzer Studios. Drink what you truly want. Pick you up a 12-pack of Truly. I drank some Trulies while throwing axes this weekend. Then on Saturday night, I went to Hops and Hollers and drank some Truly, too. Just drank a lot of Truly this weekend. And you know what? I truly loved it. Hour three headlines. Cody McClure, Collision Course right now.
Thanks, John. The Dodgers' Justin Turner is irate with out of touch, behind the times.
You're welcome.
Commissioner Rob Manfred. An offseason of anger for the Dodgers again boiled over today as third baseman Justin Turner took aim at the commissioner and the commissioner's characterization of the World Series trophy a day after Manfred called it a piece of metal when talking with ESPN's Carl Ravage about the possibility of stripping the Astros of their title. Well, what's the deal, Rob Manfred? Is baseball sacred or is it not? The trophy's just a piece of metal?
Oh, man.
Do you not forget the families it affects? Do you not forget, you know it represents so much in baseball. We just don't play to be champions anymore? It's just a piece of metal. Get the hell out of baseball.
Bad weekend for
Get
Rob
out
Manfred.
Of baseball. Rob Manfred. Gotta hate that guy.
Bad weekend from him.
Well, Justin Turner came after him. He said, I don't know if the commissioner has ever won anything in his life. Might be a loser. Maybe he hasn't. But the reason every guy's in this room, the reason every guy's working out all offseason and showing up to camp early and putting in all the time and effort is specifically for that trophy.
Yeah.
We play sports to win championships.
Yep.
Rob Manfred should be killed.
He should be fired.
That's essentially what I mean.
If we're talking about the worst leaders, if we're power ranking the worst leaders, he would be on the top five right now of worst leaders.
Yeah.
Especially if we're talking about just in sports now, he would be on there. It'd be like him and James Dolan. He'd be ahead of Dan Snyder. He'd be ahead of Dan Snyder.
Dan Snyder's got a chance to have a glow up.
He's at least trying.
He's working.
Rob Manfred would be probably number two behind.
You put Jerry Jones on there.
He might get consideration for it.
Maybe.
Rich Barnes, I don't know, maybe on there as well. Who knows? After he threw Folky under the bus on that charge again, who knows? But Rob Manfred being in the top two, that's a lock.
We haven't talked about that yet.
There's not much to talk about when it comes to it.
I assume Houston probably spent 2 to 3 hours on it today.
Yeah.
He was very upset.
Rob Manfred. There was an article written. It's called Baseball is Burning. And basically, like, this is going to be a disaster all year. You've had Josh Turner. And I believe Cody Bellinger had a scathing quote, too, basically. And he was talking about how the Astros just got to cheat and make a mockery of the game. And you know, the players didn't get punished, and the organization still has their World Series trophy, so no big deal.
Rob Manfred should be gutted, figuratively, and drawn and quartered, and dragged behind a moving vehicle, again, figuratively. I don't mean he should actually be killed, but, you know, in baseball terms.
Sure.
I think that
strictly baseball terms.
It's time to be drawn and quartered. I'm getting some real blowback on having Jesus at number four.
I mean, I told you.
I don't know why people are so upset that he made my top five.
I told you.
I mean, I wasn't trying to make the whole thing religious, but I feel like Jesus deserves to be on the list, and people have a real problem with it. Some guy even said he's not high enough. Mike Tomlin is adamantly defending Mason Rudolph against Myles Garrett's claims. 2 days after issuing a statement supporting his quarterback, the Steelers coach Tomlin appeared on First Take to defend Mason Rudolph in the wake of another allegation made by Myles Garrett in an interview with Mina Kimes, and to voice frustration with the coverage. The most recent one this past weekend, I took offense to it, to be quite honest with you, Tomlin said. I fully support Mason Rudolph. We as an organization fully support Mason Rudolph. We were hacked off by what we saw this weekend. So Mike Tomlin's basically saying, look, I know Mason Rudolph. I know what kind of guy he is. He would not use the racial slur. Myles Garrett maintaining that he did use the racial slur. But Tomlin's behind his boy.
Okay. I mean, I'm over the story.
It's just the news.
They're never going to be able to prove it.
It's the news.
One way or the other.
The news doesn't stop.
They should stop it. They should just move on.
It's newsworthy.
Mason Rudolph should just go back to being a backup quarterback.
Bro, it's February 17th. It's the news.
It is February 17th, and it is news.
This is the current news of the day.
I am simply telling you that I am over it.
Would you like an update on the poll?
I didn't realize we put up a poll.
What is the Associated Press top 25?
No, we already did the top 10. That's all that matters to me. Tennessee.
Did we do that on the show?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, because Cam mentioned Penn State.
Yeah. So, no, I do not. I'm not interested in the poll. Tennessee's not in the top 25, so.
Well, no, we're not in the top 50.
Why would we aren't.
Why would we be anywhere near the top 50?
That is correct. We are not in the top 50, so I don't care.
Yeah. Okay. President Donald Trump was at the race yesterday at the Daytona 500. Did you catch the commander-in-chief? He became the first president to give the command at a NASCAR race. Gentlemen, start your engines. That's what he said. And then he drove around the beast limo, sped around the track. The wrong way, I believe. With taxpayer money.
Okay. Yeah, I saw it.
All right.
He got a good ovation. I mean,
Thanks for the feedback.
He got a good ovation there. I mean, what else am I supposed to say?
That's fine. We'll move on.
It was nice to see Trump go support our Southern brothers and sisters. Is that what I'm supposed to say?
Something like that would have been fine. Yeah.
It felt like if he wasn't there, maybe the race would have started on time, and I wouldn't have had to wait around for an hour and a half. But whatever. I'm sure the people there appreciated seeing him there more than the race starting on time, so probably a cool moment for everybody.
He was taking pictures with some people. They got to meet the president. Yeah. You know, that would be pretty cool.
The crowd got to be there and see that in person, so they probably liked the experience.
Trump's campaign manager apparently had to delete a photo that he tweeted out. It was a dramatic photo of Air Force One at Daytona, saying that the president won the Daytona 500 before the race had even started. But the shot was of George W. Bush's plane leaving in 2004.
Yeah.
So
Bush went in 2004 but didn't give the start your engines address, I guess?
I guess so. Maybe he just waved the green flag or something. I don't know.
Okay.
They have all these different traditions in NASCAR. One guy waves the flag. One guy does a prayer. One guy sings the anthem. One guy sings God Bless America. One guy says, gentlemen, start your engines. I mean, it's a whole thing. Another guy driving the pace car.
Okay.
So anyway, the Nashville Predators may be back. I don't know if you saw their big weekend.
Three wins in a row, right?
They had a sweep over the weekend. Yeah, they beat St. Louis.
Do they find themselves in the playoffs right now?
I don't know, but they had three straight wins, first time since October.
We don't know if they're in the playoff picture right now.
They're climbing, for sure.
Well, I know they're climbing. They won three in a row. That's good. They got some extra points, all that good stuff. Hold on, I'll check.
Yeah, they got a good shot probably at contending for the playoffs.
Yeah, I'll check. Hold on. Let's see. They are currently – no, they're currently – where's points at? It seems as if they're 1 point away from – they're 1 point behind both Arizona and Calgary for a wild card spot.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
A-Rod apparently interested in buying the Mets.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
Would you buy the Mets if you're A-Rod?
Yeah, probably, I guess. It'd be cool to own a team. Mm. Like, I think that'd be one of the coolest things. If I was like super-duper rich, that would be something I would want to do. Probably not a baseball team, but I'm not a baseball guy. A-Rod is obviously a baseball guy, so I think that'd be really awesome to be able to own a team. Would it be awesome for a former player to own a team, though? Like, I feel like it's normal normal, non-athletic dude's dream, more so than like somebody who actually played at the highest level. But Michael Jordan wanted to be an owner, so maybe.
And he's been so successful at it.
I mean, he hasn't been successful at winning, but he bought them when they were like worth $200 million, and now they're worth like $600 or $700 million. So
if you're LeBron,
he made a lot of money doing it. LeBron says he wants to be a team owner someday. So
I'm thinking if you're LeBron, you buy a team, and if that team's successful, then that kind of puts you
ahead of LeBron or ahead of Jordan.
Or at least makes the conversation more interesting. Like, yeah, sure, Jordan was great as a player. Sure, all the rings. But have you seen LeBron as an owner?
Yeah.
I mean, more well-rounded, maybe.
He did draft a winning team in the All-Star game.
Yeah, they were pretty good.
The team he's put together in L.A. is pretty good this year.
American televangelist Jim Baker is selling a liquid that...
This will really put the pressure on Dan Gilbert to sell the Cavs to him when he's done playing. Mm-hmm. Did you know that the Cavs are about to hire their sixth coach in 7 years? And in four of those years, Cody, they went to the NBA Finals. They went to the Finals four times in that seven-year stretch, yet are still about to hire their sixth coach, which seems kind of crazy.
Seems like a lot.
Yeah, seems like a lot.
Yeah. American televangelist Jim Baker is selling a liquid that will allegedly kill the coronavirus for $300 a bottle.
Mm-hmm.
Selling it on TV.
That's sad.
QVC.
That's sad.
People buy those things.
The only way I would respect it is if he personally, intentionally infected himself with the virus to show that his cure worked.
That would be bold.
Yeah, that's what I want to see him do. Get sick. And then use your miracle cure to treat yourself. That's what I want to see.
Yeah. Have you seen any updates on our coronavirus recently?
I haven't.
I haven't either. Maybe it's dying down. Probably not.
More people on that cruise were tested positive for it.
Did they?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a shame.
Got to just blow it up like you said now, I guess.
Yeah. Well, I was thinking they should just sink it, you know, but I guess it's too late for that. And that'll do it for today's news.
Okay. We still got, winners and losers coming up. Was there another segment I had in mind? Was it the Tennessee-South Carolina game? Is that what I wanted to talk about? Was it the baseball thing, maybe? I saw the worst movie in the world this weekend. Okay, yeah, we'll see where that goes next. Stick with us as Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. I was pretty disappointed to see that in the behind the scenes that Rob Manfred, baseball's commissioner, has basically said he's already warned everybody not to hit the Astros. Not to throw the ball at them. Is this ultimately going to end with the Astros having to vacate their title? Is that the only thing that would alleviate this? Because it's going to continue all year.
I think that they should have to give up their title, yes. Otherwise, what precedent are you setting in baseball?
But cheating is okay, I guess. It's not so much what they did, it's that the Astros won't shut up about it. Like, they're still halfway apologizing, halfway saying it's not that big of a deal. Like, we're a week away from their owner being like, yeah, it didn't really help us win. We had a great team. Like, they're still not even acting like it's that big of a deal. They're still just like, hey, yeah, it happened.
Yeah,
sorry, but we had to win those games ourselves. We had a great team with great players.
That guy, I mean, what a sleazeball. What did he say? I don't think it had any outcome on the game. Like, obviously, it had an outcome. Look at their numbers away versus their numbers home. It's astonishing, the differences. I mean, I think you gotta strip them of their title. That's really all you can do.
Would that solve everything? Would everyone then say, okay, everything's fine? Because I don't know if it would, because there are a lot of guys who probably feel like they should have championships. The Yankees complain that they should have a championship, which, by the way, I thought it was a really good moment this weekend when you saw the when you saw the Washington Nationals clap back on Twitter? The Yankees talking about how they should be the champs, blah, blah, blah. Like, if they weren't cheating, we would have won, whatever they were saying. And then you had the Nationals say, hey, Yankees, that's cool, but we won games 1, 2, 6, and 7 in Houston. You know, where the Astros were cheating. We still went there and won. So that was a pretty good clapback by the Nationals. But you have a lot of people who feel like their careers would be different, either through winning their own championships. That's why the Dodgers have been so angry about it, right? You haven't seen much from the Marlins.
No, but the Dodgers and the Yankees, the teams that actually got screwed.
And then you have the Reds. Trevor Bauer's mad because he was with the Indians and got smacked around in a playoff game and gave up a whole bunch of runs. And really, that really like ended his career in Cleveland, almost, because I mean, like they were so mad at him for coming up small in that game. But you see the teams who feel like, hey, we were close. We would have won had this not happened. They're the ones that are the most angry about it. Yu Darvish, who, you know, had his career really tainted and him labeled as a really big choker for what he did when he was with the Dodgers. What's the best case scenario for baseball this year? If the Astros come out and are in ultimate bleep you mode, kind of like the Patriots. Kind of like the Patriots did after the whole Spygate stuff, because that's when they came out in 07. It was like, you think we're only winning because we're cheating? Okay, watch this. Let's go get Randy Moss. Let's drop 50. Let's drop him. Let's let Brady throw 50 touchdowns. Randy Moss will get 23, and we'll break all these records, and we'll go undefeated.
But does this not feel so much dirtier than the Patriots, than Spygate? I mean, this feels like it really damaged baseball. Like the Patriots, one thing, they got cameras, they're looking at what teams are doing and putting together the practice reports. I mean, that's one thing. It's cheating, sure, by definition, but this is like, they knew pitch by pitch. Like, this seems way worse than what the Patriots did to me. But it is good now that they'll be the villain.
We don't know how bad the Patriots were. The tapes got destroyed. They weren't released to the public, so... We don't know. It could have been bad. It could have been just as bad of them knowing basically every Rams play and their formations and what they're going to do, because they were taping a walkthrough of the, you know, before the Super Bowl, and we don't know how deep it went because the tapes got destroyed. You know, baseball, the problem was this got unearthed by The Athletic, and then you had Twitter detectives breaking down all these videos and finding all these instances where they're beating the trash cans. And there's just the really funny screen grabs of someone like Jose Altuve, and they're
covering
like
covering his chest.
Well, that, but I was also showing like the side by side of the stats where he's like batting 130 on the road and like 430 in the playoffs at home, and he's like his numbers are just astronomically different, and you can't get him out at home, and he can't hit on the road.
Right, and Twitter wasn't around when the Patriots thing happened, so maybe it would have been like that, you know, for its time. But this just, but that's just part of it. I mean, this seems worse, and part of it's because of Twitter, maybe, but. It just seems worse, and it seems like it's really damaged baseball. But maybe they can come back from it, because now the Astros are without a doubt a villain.
They're a huge villain.
Now everybody's going to – people are going to be pulling for the Yankees over the Astros. That's how big of a villain they are.
I found, you know, the Astros were sort of a villain already in baseball because they play with so much flair, which is kind of funny because, like, it's kind of funny that they were getting hated because of the flair and stuff, when really they should have been getting hated because they were just, you know, tainting the game. It turns out they really weren't respecting the game or playing it the right way.
Right.
That's what all the criticisms were, and it was because they were dancing and showing that Latin flair, but really they were also just cheating in the highest order of we're videoing you and banging on trash cans.
People are going to legit be riding with the Yankees, maybe the most hated sports franchise of all time. They're gonna ride with the Yankees because of what the Astros have done.
Cam, what are you rooting for? The Astros to come out and still be really good and then just embrace the villain role, or for everything to be really, really bad and all of a sudden these players just can't hit, either because of the pressure or because they aren't cheating anymore and they're all batting 230, 240, and they win like 70 games and finish 25 games behind the A's?
I still want them to be villains because I want to see some action. I want to see some fights and stuff. I want this to get wild. That's kind of where I'm pulling for. Like, I'm not the biggest baseball person, but this makes it way more interesting from, like, my perspective of, like, you know, somebody that doesn't really watches it super casually. So, yeah, it's – would love to see some stuff, some, you know, the anger stay there, the animosity, and you know, make the games interesting. So
still want them to be good.
Be the villains. Yeah.
Yeah. Be you the want villains. Them to be good. That's the better scenario. That's going to be good for ratings and good for it'll be good TV. See if the villain can be taken down. But they got it's got to matter, you know. It's got to be in the ALCS or in the World Series. That's when we want them to get beat.
Oof.
Like, do you think America will be pulling for the Yankees in that series?
Yeah.
People in Boston won't.
I think it's going to be 29 teams hating the Astros this year. 29 fan bases hating
the
Astros.
Everybody but the
Red Sox. No, I was going to say everybody except the Astros. Like,
I'm just meaning that series.
No, I think I was saying 29 in terms of I think even the Red Sox might be rooting for the Yankees and vice versa because I think this kind of supersedes the rivalry. This trumps the rivalry, in my opinion, of like just someone disrespecting the game and, again, just
– Yeah, curse of the babe, though.
I mean, the Red Sox feel – I guess the Red Sox won the World Series, so they don't have the same gripe against the Astros.
And they did lift the curse.
Did the Astros beat them in 2017?
Who?
The Red Sox.
I think so.
In the playoffs, maybe?
I think so.
They lost in 2018.
Sox got to the World Series.
The Red Sox beat the Astros in 2018, so they might not have as much of a gripe.
The Red Sox, because they beat the Dodgers in 18, right?
And maybe the Red Sox won't be all high and mighty because, you know, they had Alex Cora and he got fired and he was kind of linked to this.
I think it's best for them to still be good, though. At the end of the day, maybe
still be good and interesting.
Maybe the Dodgers can be the hero at the end of the day. Wouldn't that be nice?
You see the projections, like when one of these baseball publications put out their projected wins? Most division winners, by the way, the Reds predicted to win the division. Mets predicted to win the NL East. And they had like 87, 86 wins, stuff like that. And they got the Dodgers.
Like 105.
Yeah, like 103, 104.
Yeah.
No pressure, LA. Like everyone else in the division was under 500.
I mean, the Diamondbacks, the Rockies, they suck.
No, they do. But it was just funny. Like the Dodgers were projected to win that division by like 28 games. No pressure.
Expectations are high.
Expectations through the roof.
I'm going to try to catch a Dodgers game.
Down in Atlanta?
No, probably in Dodger Stadium. Yeah. You want to go?
No.
What if it's against Atlanta?
No, I'd go to like Atlanta to watch if you wanted to, or Cincinnati to watch the Reds. I'd do that. I'm not going all the way to Los Angeles to watch a Dodgers game.
I think it'd be cool.
Why?
Get a Dodger dog. Look at the Vin Scully statue. It's a cool place. We could go together.
The only way I would go is if we went in June.
In a plane.
Yeah, also. But in June.
June.
Yeah.
All right.
That way there was some potential like basketball going on. Maybe May. May would work as well.
Catch a Lakers or
Clippers playoff game.
That'd be fine. That would
even if we weren't like in Staples because of, you know, it being really expensive. At least being there. To experience, which by the way, there's a chance I think that I will be in Denver if the Nuggets can make a run. That would be like during the conference finals. If the Nuggets could make the conference finals, that'd be kind of cool. Maybe go see a conference finals game out there, Nuggets Lakers or something.
Would be pretty cool.
Yeah,
they probably won't make the finals though, will they?
I guess the conference finals.
Second best record.
They have a chance to make the conference finals.
They're ahead of the Clippers now, aren't they?
Yeah, they're the two seed right now.
Yeah, they might make it.
All right, let's play some winners and losers of the weekend. Stick with us. This is Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. It's 2:30. It's Monday. Let's play some winners and losers of the weekend. Cam, please get the music ready. About to hit it in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.5, 1.5. You got it ready? Okay, now.
Winners and losers. Winners. And losers, Winners and losers. Winners and losers.
Winners and losers. All right, Cody, who were your winners of the weekend? Who won this weekend?
Number three winner for me this weekend, John, Alpha Diallo. You familiar with Alpha Diallo?
The name?
Maybe. It's a cool name, isn't it?
I want to say I might have heard of Alpha Diallo, but I don't know. No, who is Alpha Diallo?
Alpha Diallo is a player for Providence in college basketball. Providence defeated number 10 Seton Hall, a big upset win for Providence. Alpha Diallo had 35 points in the winning effort.
That's pretty cool.
Big night for Alpha Diallo.
That's pretty cool.
Living up to his name.
True Alpha.
Big night for him. He's my number three winner. Number two winner, Clemson basketball, knocking off number five Louisville over the weekend. This is their second big win of the year. The first one looked big at the time. Turns out it wasn't. But at the time, beating North Carolina on the road.
It was still big for them because they hadn't beat them in like 50 years in Chapel Hill.
Yeah, I mean, it was, I know.
So I'll say it was still big.
Time, though, it was a huge win.
Yeah, but for them to win, still big in my opinion. But either way.
Huge win for them. And they've now got their second huge win of the year. I don't know if their record's good or if they're a bubble team or whatever.
For some reason, I thought they were like around 500.
They're probably no good. But regardless, to defeat number five Louisville, you got a big win. You beat a top five team, and that was the biggest upset in college basketball over the weekend. So shout out Clemson basketball, which is, unlike Clemson football, not hateable.
Yeah, they're only 13-12.
Yeah, well, nice win still.
Yeah.
Number one winner this weekend, the NBA All-Star Game. I thought it was well-received. First All-Star Game I've watched in years. I love the new format. I hope they keep doing it. Good entertainment. Big winner.
That's your biggest winner of the weekend?
Yeah.
Would you like to hear mine?
Yes, I would.
Can you ask me to, John?
John, could you give us your top five? I mean, your top
three.
John, what are your winners? See, I'm not used to doing that.
Three. I'm glad you asked, Cody. My third biggest winner of the weekend is Haley Deegan. Haley Deegan, who the hell is that? I know. That's what I was asking myself as well. And then next thing I knew, she was popped up all over my Twitter profile. Apparently, Haley Deegan is an American professional stock car racing driver. She competes full-time in the ARCA Menards Series, driving the number four Fusion of DGR Crosley. She is, I guess, the next Danica. I don't know. She's a female NASCAR phenom who went viral by posting her picture with Donald Trump. Now we know who Haley Deegan is.
People were talking about her before that.
That's the first time I found her, though. I would imagine that many people are like me, just kind of realizing that there is an upcoming NASCAR 18-year-old girl that's probably going to be a superstar.
I think many people are saying, wow, a hot young NASCAR driver.
She looks much better than Danica.
Yeah.
Yeah, she looks much better than Danica.
She's
girl
also barely 18, but 18 all the less.
I don't know when her birthday is. I did verify that she was a legal adult, but yes. I'm not here to oogle over her or anything. I'm simply saying that she has the look.
Of course.
She has the look. She's going to be a superstar, one way or the other.
She was born the same year 9/11 happened, oddly enough, if that makes you feel old.
Not really. You saying she was 18 did enough of that to make me feel old, but I'm fine. I'm not over here oogling over her. I'm simply saying to get ready, she is going to be a superstar.
Yeah, you brought her up.
Because she's going to be a superstar.
Would you be saying that if she was an 18-year-old male?
If she was in a sport that didn't have a lot of 18-year-old males, sure.
We know why you brought her up.
Because she is, I mean, because Danica is one of the most paid athletes of all time.
Danica was, I mean, she was great for marketing.
That's what I'm saying. That's simply what I'm saying. This girl looks like she could follow in Danica's footprints. Maybe she could be a better driver, too. I don't know, because I don't feel like, was Danica driving at 18?
I don't know. I saw a lot of dirty old men in the
comments. I'm not a dirty old man. I'm looking at this simply from a sports perspective. But Haley Deegan, my third biggest winner of the weekend. You ready for number two?
Mm-hmm.
Herb Jones. Do you know who Herb Jones is?
Commentator?
No. Cam, do you know? That's Herbert Davis, I think. Do you know who Herb Jones is?
Is that the UFC ref?
There might be a UFC ref named Herb Jones, but I'm thinking of the guy from Alabama. Did you guys see him over the weekend? He has a fractured wrist. He's out there with one hand and a cast around his wrist, yet he played 29 minutes for Alabama against LSU. He hit two big free throws at the end of the game. He could only shoot them with one hand. He had to pick the ball with one hand and shoot them, and he made both of them. Crowd's going crazy. Nate Oates is going crazy. And this maniac with one hand, he grabbed 17 rebounds against LSU. 17 rebounds with a cast on his hand. Two free throws that got the crowd going crazy. That's the type of thing that are made of SEC legends. I thought he was a really cool story. I did get chills kind of watching him hit those free throws and how crazy the crowd went. And number one, much like Cody McClure, the NBA All-Star Game. It was a big winner.
I thought you had the other female NASCAR driver, the blonde one. Are you familiar with her?
This is her. Is it
not? No, this is a different one. I'm talking about a different one.
She's got blonde in some of her pictures.
No, I'm totally different. Also an ARCA series driver.
What's her name?
Natalie Decker. Look at her. That's the other one. A lot of people were talking about her.
Yeah, give me Haley Deegan instead.
Over Natalie Decker?
Yeah.
I'm just thinking these could be two future stars.
Did she do something? When I Google her name, I don't see any stories
she
popping
just
up of her
fits
over the weekend.
The mold of what you're kind of describing there.
Yeah, but she didn't have any viral moments.
No,
why would
but
she be a winner?
Well, you know what I'm saying.
No, kinda you're like, making it creepy. I'm talking about a girl that actually had a story.
What you
although Natalie Decker
Haley
did notch her highest finish for Woman in Truck Series, so she did.
She's higher up than
she
Haley
did
Deegan.
Have. Okay, she did have. She finished fifth place. Over
Haley
weekend.
Deegan just took a picture with the president.
Well,
Natalie
I know.
Natalie Decker is actually
okay.
In the Truck Series.
I'm going to add. Well, this girl is too.
I thought you said she's an ARCA.
Oh, is
ARCA's
that?
A lower level.
Okay.
So Truck Series, like Natalie Decker, soon she'll be in the Nationwide Series. She's actually got a better chance of climbing, I think.
Okay, and then she'll get a lot of money too, so I'm going to add Natalie Decker to my list, and they'll both be winners of the weekend.
Yeah.
Actually, it turns out maybe Haley Deegan will be a loser of the weekend, and Natalie Decker will get all the endorsement money first.
That's what could – Natalie Decker –
I just didn't see her story go viral, but it turns out maybe she's the one we should be paying attention to because she finished fifth.
Well, and she's blonde. And I think that's, you know, that might help.
That's debatable. Half of America probably prefers dark-headed women to blonde
just
women.
Just easier to see, though.
Cam,
the blonde
dark-haired
hair is...
blonde woman. Do you have a preference?
I don't have a preference.
You just like
personally.
Women.
Cam has a preference.
I don't have a
come
preference.
Come on, Cam. Come on. You got to pick one. You know which one you'd pick.
I don't have a preference.
You know what you'd pick.
Cam's smart. Cam's not going to eliminate half of his option pool right here. He likes nice women. No matter what
give
color
me
the hair
good
they are.
Personality.
As long as they have a nice personality and a kind heart, Cam Black is interesting.
Right. A good personality.
We're not all creeps like you, bro.
Well, then you need to tell that to all the women who don't like me for my personality.
You don't have a good personality.
I have a great personality.
You're a creep. They look at you and they're like, this guy's creepy. He's staring
no,
at
don't.
Me in a weird way. It turns
no,
out they're
don't.
Right about you.
You're so wrong.
Turns out they're right.
I've got so many women friends.
Congrats.
So many.
Congrats.
You're the one that brought Haley Deegan up. I heard what you were saying.
She had a big weekend. All right, what were your biggest losers of the weekend?
Biggest losers, number three, Rob Manfred. You know, we talked about it in headlines. I didn't like his comments about the trophy and how baseball just – I mean, that's what we're playing for, Rob. You know, saying the trophy's meaningless. I think Rob Manfred's a loser. I'm ready for him to be out of baseball. My number two loser, Auburn basketball, Bruce Pearl going on the road losing to Missouri. They got handled, too. Final score was 85-73, but they got handled. Bruce always has a game like that. You know, they play so well for most of the season. There's always a game where they just lose to some ridiculous team.
They should be really embarrassed for losing to Missouri.
Yeah, they should. But
although it felt like a trap game. I think the spread was only like 3.5, so like it was a trap game.
I'll call Konzo a winner. Konzo getting one up on Pearl. That's good for him, I guess. And my number one loser, I'm going with the Daytona 500 because I think a lot of people were gathered around the TV yesterday ready to watch. You had the Barstool guys there. They were doing their thing, and then they had to leave because the rain delay, and then it just went by the wayside, and nobody's going to remember it today. Nobody's watching the 500 at 4 o'clock on a Monday.
I disagree, but we'll see.
I don't think so, man. Well, I mean, people will, but like the ratings will not even be close to what they would have been.
Yeah, no, it was bad because they had initial tune in for the Daytona 500 11.2 million viewers.
and it won't be
11.2 million people viewed tuned in. That was up 32% over last year's start and the highest since 2015. Now we'll see if they're able to get that back, you know,
won't even be
on
half
Monday.
That. I don't even think it'll be half that.
If you're an advertiser, do you look and say, well, we had 11.2 million people watching at the beginning, so we had some exposure, and then we had, you know, another 6 or 7 on Monday, so we got an extra bit. I don't know how the TV numbers work. What happens when it delays? Like, if you were sponsored, if you were scheduled to run on Sunday, I guess you get a discount on Monday. I don't know how that works, but I guess you're right because that was up 32%. People were tuned in, ready to go see what NASCAR had and rain. Can someone smarter than me about this, which is both of you, I guess, is there a reason that NASCAR wants to run Daytona in February? Because
they always have the rain problem a lot of
times. That's what I'm saying. My friend lives in Alabama, and every time I talk to him, they're worried about a tornado. It's like Tornado Alley. I know Daytona's a little bit further south, but like, it feels like that Alabama constantly has bad weather in like late January, early February. It seems like that is a thing.
That's just where Daytona's located.
I guess it has to be the kickoff of the season. Has to be the first race. It's always been the first race, I guess.
Oh, yeah. It always has been since like the 50s. Okay. They used to run it on the sand.
It just seems like they used to race on sand?
Mm-hmm. It was hard. It was packed down. It was like in the 50s.
Sand?
Back in the Lee Petty days.
Yeah.
Lee Petty helped the transition from sand to asphalt.
I guess it's not that much different than dirt, though, I guess.
Lee Petty was the father of Richard Petty. You know who Richard Petty's son is?
Dale Petty.
Kyle Petty. You know who Kyle's son
was? I
know
who Kyle Petty is. Bubba Petty.
Kyle's son was Adam Petty. Tragic story.
Okay.
He died.
That was your Biggest Loser of the weekend, right?
What? Oh, yeah.
NASCAR? That was Biggest Loser of the weekend?
Yes.
Do you want mine three?
Yeah, well, yeah.
Will you ask for my
John, three? Could you give us your losers of the weekend?
Yeah, number three for me. Number three, Fantasy Island. Worst movie I've ever seen in my life. It's getting crushed. Everyone that watches it is saying this is the worst movie ever. I saw some people were scoring it. I got a 0 out of 100, a 5 out of 100. It is like a 9% on Rotten Tomatoes the last I saw. I went to see it, so I guess they got my money, but it was abysmal. It was one of the most incoherent, dumbest movies I've ever seen, and I'm about done with Blumhouse. I'll be honest, I'm about done with Blumhouse Productions. They are one of my more relied upon. I like to support them. They put out good horror movies. They did Paranormal Activity. They did Get Out. They've had some bangers. They've had some bangers, so I tried to support them. And I went to see this one just because I like movies. I like scary movies. I wanted to give it a chance. And, buddy, let me tell you, worst movie I've ever seen that I've ever sat through and not turned off. Abysmal. Awful. My third biggest loser of the weekend. Number two for me, I went with Tiger Woods. He had a good, you know, first 9 holes of his tournament on Thursday, and from that moment on, he was awful. He ended up, last I saw, he was like one place above last place in his own tournament. Bad weekend for him. And number one, I went with Rob Manfred. Just, he's the biggest loser in sports. He's the biggest loser in entertainment right now. Just all across the landscape.
What was that movie you said you watched?
Fantasy Island.
That sounds like it would be bad.
It had a cool premise. I mean, it's based off, like, you know, the show from like the 70s or 80s or whatever. Like, they had the, you know, you had a story built in. It had some chances that, like, they could be creative with it, but no, it was awful. It was abysmal. It was very bad. And then I try not to read reviews beforehand if I want to watch a movie. That way I don't get scared out of it or go in with too high of expectations. But I didn't know that it was the same director of Blumhouse's Truth or Dare, which was probably the other worst movie I've seen. And it was the same lead actress and the same director, and that's just really sad. It's really bad. Almost ruined Valentine's Day with how bad it was.
That's how bad it was.
Yeah.
Sounds like it would be pretty bad.
Yeah. Anything else on the winners and losers?
I got nothing.
Christian Coleman won the championship in the 60s.
Okay.
Fastest man alive right now.
He was what, 0.04 seconds off of his world record?
Yeah,
is that what it was?
He's ran like the two fastest times.
So it seems as if he is going to win gold at the Olympics this year, right? Like he's
going to
be the favorite, right? Like if he doesn't win gold, it's going to be a failure.
Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would say he's the favorite. Yeah.
Okay. That's something to monitor as we get closer to the Olympics.
Pumped for that.
Yeah, that would be cool to see. Have we ever had a gold medal winner in the Olympics in that sport?
I think Gatlin's done.
Gatlin didn't win gold. I
know he's
done
it in the
relay,
four
maybe?
By ones.
Okay.
I'm not positive about the straight up hundreds.
Okay.
I think he had to, you know, competing with both.
Is Gatlin still
going to
be on the relay team this year?
He should be.
So they might get gold in that too,
as far
maybe,
as
right?
I know. Yeah. Oh yeah.
All right. Last call on the other side.
It's the best time.
Last call brought to you by our friends at Volunteer Vodka, award-winning vodka distilled in the hills of Tennessee. Stop by and pick you up a bottle. Support the people who support us. The delicious, the smooth Volunteer Vodka. All right, let's play some Pump the Brakes or Keep Rolling. You want to go first or second?
Second.
Arkansas author with a really famous book that turned into a really famous movie. Two movies, actually.
I bet it's John Grisham, huh?
No, it's not.
Oh.
Not named John Grisham.
Okay.
Yes! Yes! Yes!
His name is Charles Portis. He wrote the movie True Grit, which has two versions of it. He dies at 86.
Oh. Does anybody know who that is?
No, but I know the movie True Grit. You've seen True Grit or no?
Yeah. Are we talking about the original
one
or the...
Either one.
It's a Western.
Yeah.
Had deep sounding voice. Was it Sam? Not Sam Elliott. Who's that guy?
Jeff Bridges is in the remake.
Jeff Bridges, yeah.
Him and I believe... Is that the first movie that Haley Sanfield was in?
Sanfield?
Is that our name? Hey, what's her name? Haley. Is that our name?
Oh, I think I know who you're talking about.
Is it not Haley
Steinfeld?
Steinfeld?
Steinfeld. Yeah.
Steinfeld?
Jerry Seinfeld.
If I know who you're talking
Steinfeld.
About.
Haley Steinfeld, which I like Haley Steinfeld.
Yeah.
She was really good in the, you know, the Pitch Perfect movies. I don't think she's in the first one, right? She's in the second one, second and third one. She's got some good songs I like. She was great in True Grit in 2010. Yeah, have you seen it or no?
I did, but I don't remember anything about it.
Okay.
I got a...
was that Jeff Bridges' first movie after Crazy Heart, maybe? Also had Matt Damon and Josh Brolin. John Wayne did the original back in the day.
John Wayne, the first great actor, really.
The real Western people are probably mad that we're not talking about the John Wayne version.
What's the difference in a regular Western and a spaghetti Western?
The sauce.
That makes sense.
Yeah, the sauce.
A Wendy's employee has been fired for doing this in the sink at the restaurant.
I believe it's not from America.
What's that?
I think the spaghetti Western is like thought of to be like...
Italian?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
It's a little...
on the nose.
It's a little uncultured to just call it spaghetti because it's Italian.
I think, didn't they talk about that in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood? Isn't that what happened to Leo's character? He kind of had to go do the spaghetti Westerns.
That's right. That's right. And then he came back.
Apparently the macaroni Western is Japanese. I didn't know macaroni was thought to be Japanese, but.
I didn't know that either.
Yeah.
Is that where macaroni comes from?
That's what the Wikipedia says on spaghetti Western.
I mean, do we know that, like, macaroni?
I don't know. It just says spaghetti Western, also known as Italian Western, or macaroni Western, primarily in Japan. Oh, never mind. In Japan, they call it a macaroni Western because macaroni is Italian, I guess.
So the Japanese refer to the Italian Western
as macaroni Western. Okay. That makes more sense.
Yeah. And in Brazil, they call it the ravioli Western.
That's too far.
Okay. A Wendy's employee has been fired for doing this in the sink.
No, roll. Don't want this story.
Bad. No, it's not that bad.
Please, no.
Oh,
no.
I saw that story. I saw that story, actually.
Damn it. He deprived the audience of a great story.
Well, respect the game.
They met on a dating app. Then he asked her to do this.
Yeah. I thought they were going to do something really gross in the sink. I'm sorry. That's on me.
It was gross, but not like
what's this story?
Rude.
Hurry. We're out of time.
He robbed a bank on the first date and forced her to be the getaway driver. They met on They met on a dating app, Tinder or something, you know. And first date, a Massachusetts woman became an unexpected getaway driver after the man she met on the dating app robbed a bank. First date, Christopher Castillo. Was the unnamed woman's would-be Robin Hood.
You gotta find out from the jump whether or not they're ride or die.
He told her he needed to go by the bank, so she waited for him outside. He robbed it, came back to the car, and she became the getaway driver.
Did they get away?
They did not.
Terrible getaway driver.
Go ahead and mark her off the list, not calling her back.
Apparently the man was also drinking wine in the passenger seat of her Nissan Maxima. That's relevant, but there it is.
Apparently, Kentucky just extended their tight end coach. He's making $900,000. That seems crazy. Kentucky, getting serious. Anything else you want to add? Good show today. We'll do it again tomorrow, same time. Yeah. See you here at noon. Drives up next. Stay locked in on Fan Run Radio.